Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here is Bill Thayer. He's the co-founder and CEO of Fillogic. We're talking about supply chain issues. Everybody is these days. Hi, Bill. You're on WGN. Thanks for joining us.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good morning.
Tell us what you guys do. I have it here in front of me that you are the retail and logistics experts, professionals, technologists, serial entrepreneurs.
Let's not get crazy.
Creative problem solvers. What do you guys do?
So Fillogic, put simply, is the logistics as a service platform for retail. So what we do is we take underutilized spaces in retail centers, primarily shopping malls, and convert them into tech-enabled micro-distribution centers. And so once again, in retail centers, but we don't take retail-facing space. We take elbow joints, truck tunnels, storage spaces, and bring a commercial-grade logistics platform to be able to service and support our retail partners in the middle and last mile.
So it's where the stuff goes.
Yeah, in other words, we do things like e-commerce fulfillment, outbound shipping optimization, reverse logistics. We're an alternative network, you know, as you all have been, you know, talking about, is there's lots of issues with capacity, right? Not enough trucks, not enough planes, boats are all in the wrong place. We're building out an alternative network that uses existing infrastructure to help optimize this crazy world of supply chain that everybody's now woken up to.
What's going on with those boats off the coast of California? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So what's really interesting is, you know, this problem that everyone is now aware of has really been going on for years. And the pandemic just accelerated it. So usually 3 to 4 months a year, we go through what's called peak season, which is around the holidays. And unfortunately, with the pandemic, in 2020, there was a massive growth in e-commerce, right? E-commerce grew 10 years of growth in 18 months, and that has not dissipated. So you've added a ton of additional demand onto an infrastructure that was only built to handle it for specific months out of the year. And as a lot of retailers across the world have opened back up, that demand has grown exponentially. But what's unfortunate is, you know, the supply chain is all about orchestration. Things have to move in sort of that ABC 1-2-3 order, or it's going to get jammed up. And that's what's happened. The pandemic jammed it up. So now you have boats in the wrong place, containers in the wrong place, and not enough drivers, warehouse workers, and just infrastructure to be able to service the changing demand of what consumers need today.
Are they having trouble getting people to unload the ships and stuff like that?
Well, what's interesting in the ports, you know, I think what happened, I guess, late last week, the federal government said they were going to get involved, and that's pretty funny. I mean, federal government is going to have very little impact on that. They also talked about the National Guard being rolled out. Well, federal government really can't make that happen. But when you look at it, the ports have so much capacity, and there's only so much time in the day. You know, the thing is as they've opened some ports, specifically Long Beach and L.A., to be 24 hours, you have to have the drivers and you have to have the capacity to service them. It's not just opening the ports and offloading the containers. It's, do you have railheads to be able to bring the containers to? Do you have trucks and drivers to be able to move it out? So it's not just fixing the port problem. There's a driver shortage. There is a trucking shortage. I mean, right now, today, there's an update in FreightWaves, which is a pretty big, trade daily. And they're talking about sending containers from the ports on the West Coast to a central area in, you know, the middle of the country where regional trucking providers can come pick it up. That's going to take a lot of time to be able to set that stuff up. So it's going to be bumpy. I don't see this leveling off until early to mid 2023. It's going to be this bad for a long time.
I think some of us are under the impression fair enough. It's better to know than not. But I mean, I think some of us are under the impression, too, that The longshoremen or whoever it is that works there in the ports didn't want to work extra hours or didn't want to allow for three full shifts. Are you saying they are working 24/7 there?
So they're starting to get more feedback from the unions that they will support that. To be fair, not all ports in the U.S. are union organized. And there's been a fair amount of movement on the ocean carriers to try to redirect freight to other ports. But even those ports are full. So a lot of it is, you know, you just don't tell organizations now you have to change how they've worked for decades, right? It's there's some organization and there's some negotiation that takes place. The governor of California has actually started to get involved a little bit more on this. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. I don't think there's going to be a lot of pushback to extending hours. But that will be seen in the next, I'd say, couple of weeks or so. See if they're actually getting some feedback.
Is it really possible that there are a million containers out waiting to come in?
Well, I mean, look at it this way. In spring 2021, I hate to beat up on Port of Long Beach in L.A., but, you know, it's one of our big focal points when getting freight in from the Pacific Rim. There was a lot of consternation about having 25 container ships sitting off port, you know, anchored off port. A couple of weeks ago, it was 75. Now it's in the 60s. And a container ship that comes into a region right now, their average is 13 days to get it offloaded. Those numbers are not out of the ordinary. So, there's a lot of freight that's out there.
So, and I wonder how many containers, semi-truck backs, are on one of these 60 ships. You know, I mean, if you do the math, I guess that's how you get to a million, huh?
Well, in other words, you look at it from the perspective of, 20-foot equivalent unit. So it's called a TEU. So most of these larger ships can fit, tens of thousands of containers on them. You can get to the math there. I mean, there's some pretty, I think right now, as of a couple weeks ago, I believe it was around 500 ships within either it's on the North and South America that are anchored off ports, and everyone of course looks at, LA and Long Beach as sort of the main indicator, but there's a lot of boats out there that aren't getting offloaded.
All right, there's 60 off the LA port, but there's 500 mm-hmm. in South and Central America floating around with refrigerators on them. Is that right?
So it is 500 off of ports in North and South America.
Okay, well, wherever
so
they are.
That's taking half of the year.
That's amazing to me. And so just one last thing about that then. So then the ship comes in, and then it takes a couple weeks to get it in there and get the stuff off, and then it gets on train cars or semis, and then it's driven.
You have to wait to get it onto a rail yard or to a truck to pick it up. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not just the ports. It's everywhere.
And then it has to be driven or trained to some probably central unloading point where then all of these retail stores would come and pick their stuff up, right? I mean, that's another layer, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. It's the whole idea of what's called supply chain orchestration. Supply chain orchestration has been really wrecked by the pandemic, and it's just that growth of demand. I've kind of called it the three waves of the pandemic. The first wave was just everything shutting down and e-commerce grew. The second wave, which was, okay, all that demand is coming back into the networks. And then now, since it's been disrupted in, a lot of parts, in many parts of the world, now you're in that third wave. That third wave is going to be the longest and the most painful because, folks are making the decisions of what products go first. You can see this when you're shopping, whether it's in a mall or in a, food store. Your assortments are not as broad as they were, right? I kind of called my Oreo analogy. You go into a store, you used to have 20 different types of Oreos. Now you have maybe three or four because manufacturers and retailers are making strategic decisions to make sure that their number one, SKU, their number one item is in stock, and all the peripheral items, unfortunately, are not around.
Bill Thayer, the co-founder and CEO of Fillogic, says, be this time next year before we see the light, and I hope at least you're right about that. I'm going to call
it's
you...
It's 23.
Sorry. You said 23.
It's not next year. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm really sorry I called. Thank you, Bill, for joining us today.
And take it easy.
We'll reach out to you again. He's an expert on that. How about that?